Wales' first bilingual Indigenous school is now operating in Coffs Harbour, offering students an education that incorporates native language and culture. While the Gumbanya Ginganya Freedom School is independently operated, it's an example of how Indigenous culture can be incorporated into the curriculum, benefiting both the students and the local culture. James Murray has more.
The Gumbanya Ginganya Freedom School is the first of its kind in New South Wales, which is an exciting step towards a more culturally inclusive education, though it is not without its challenges. We spoke to Nathan Brennan, the Chief Operations Officer at the Bulari Mula Nyungan Aboriginal Corporation, who helped design the school's curriculum, about what this process was like.
So we've developed our own curriculum. We still had to meet requirements under the New South Wales Education Standards Authority. So there's a number of what they call key learning areas. So those are like English, maths, geography, PE, science. So across all those key learning areas, Gumbanya culture and language is incorporated through all those subject matter areas. So we look at ways where we can link in science within from Gumbanya knowledge perspective, or how we incorporate Gumbanya words within, scientific curriculum as well. And it might even be as simple as maths as well, so counting using Gumbanya numbers that we have. So those are some of the ways that we incorporate Gumbanya language and culture.
Nathan continues, talking about the future of more schools like this in the state.
We're working with a number of partners and government departments that are really interested in seeing the young people and the rate of acquisition, and looking at possibly into the future how we create frameworks for other communities to progress down this avenue of looking at language pathways from early childhood into possibly more Aboriginal-controlled independent schools in the state of New South Wales.
The plurality of Indigenous languages spoken in Australia could pose a challenge to some educators as to what to teach their students. So we asked Professor Jacqueline Troy, the director of the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Research Portfolio at the University of Sydney, about what languages could be used in a national curriculum.
There are Creole languages that have developed, we call them contact languages because they're post-contact between Aboriginal people and people from other language groups, particularly post the invasion of Australia in 1788. So, and all over Australia, we also have a range of Aboriginal Englishes, which should also be taught in schools or certainly used as in teaching in schools, because most Aboriginal kids speak some form of Aboriginal English one way or another, and it's good to have Aboriginal English incorporated into our school curriculum. The Creole languages are more specific to particular parts of Australia. So that's a choice that you would make. Do you teach the local vernacular original language, if you like, or one of these contact languages, which are quite old, many of them now, or do you teach both? And I think because a lot of the kids in school, students in school speak Creoles, it's good to use those languages in schools in any case. They are the languages of everyday use.
Professor Troy continues to speak on the challenges faced in the process of preserving and maintaining these languages and the cultural importance of keeping them alive.
The communities themselves that want to get their languages going again and then or continue their languages forward, maintain their languages, these communities need funding. They need a lot of funding to do this work because there are very few people now who for many of our languages who grew up remembering what the language might have sounded like or speaking it themselves. And those people should be compensated for their time if they're involved in language projects where the language is being documented and materials are being created like dictionaries and grammars. And there's very slim funding in Australia for language projects. So number one, I think the Commonwealth government and the state and territory government should put a lot of funding into language work, and they should remember as well, we should all remember that if you speak someone's language, then you know something about their whole world. So it's not just keeping a language going, it's keeping an entire cultural world going. All the richness of that the language can share, the words that in particular languages, you know, we often say, oh, that's just a bit hard to translate between languages because some ideas just sit so nicely just in the one language. You can explain it, but, you know, each language has its own special way of of describing the world of the people that it comes from.
In spite of these challenges, there is a lot the Australian government can do to help the preservation and growth of these languages and cultures, as Nathan explains.
I think the government could look at, you know, what are the startup financial resources that communities need to be able to make this a reality, you know, in terms of infrastructure and, you know, developing all that infrastructure, because it's not until mid-year to when we start getting our state and federal money. So there's quite a lot of upfront costs in terms of particularly in terms of infrastructure, in terms of staffing costs and those types of things. And that's debt that you have to carry until you start receiving your state and your federal money. So, yeah, I'd like to see government invest some money into Aboriginal independent schools and start-up costs to support those communities that want to pursue that avenue.
Nathan Brennan, the Chief Operations Officer at Bulari Mulinyangan Aboriginal Corporation, ending that report by James Murray.